The following is a paid advertisement. All views and or opinions are solely those of the advertiser and not KLGR or its parent company, Alpha Media, LLC.
Welcome to Treat the Cause, the program dedicated to helping you find and treat the root causes of some of the most common health challenges. Dr. Kyle Pankinen is a board-certified chiropractic orthopedist and certified functional medicine practitioner. Join him as he teaches you about the causes and solutions to the health challenges that affect many people.
I'm Dr. Kyle Pankin, and thank you for joining me for today's episode of Treat the Cause. We're on a series where we're talking about how certain foods can be inflammatory and how certain foods can be anti-inflammatory. And we've shared quite a bit of detailed information about this in our past two or three episodes. And so I want to continue this discussion by going in a little bit deeper today, especially looking at how our gut health can greatly influence or contribute to chronic pain in the body. I want to give a brief overview again of the foods that are inflammatory so that if anybody's missed it, they kind of have an idea of what I'm talking about with this. So the sad thing is about 60% of Americans' diet comes from these five sources that I'm going to talk about. In other words, 60% of their total calorie intake comes from, number one, refined sugar. So anything that has added sugar to it, that is inflammatory. Number two are refined grains. So when they mill grains and refine them to produce all kinds of different products, cereals and pastas and all these things, refined grains are highly inflammatory. Number three, grain flour products. So they mill that grain way down into flour, and they use flour to make things like crackers and bread and things like that. Folks, those are highly inflammatory. Number four are trans fats. The prototypical example of trans fat is margarine or Crisco. Trans fats are chemically made fats that are developed in a laboratory through a process called hydrogenation. They are highly inflammatory. And finally, refined omega-6 oils, things like corn oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil, peanut oil. Consuming a lot of these, folks, is inflammatory. So if your diet is full of these foods, or you're consuming calories from these sources, you are going to become inflamed. And then we share how foods are anti-inflammatory, which foods are. And the list is quite long, but the good thing is the list of anti-inflammatory foods is much longer than the list of inflammatory foods. So a brief rundown would be meat and wild game, including bacon, folks. I know you wanted to hear that. Wild-caught fish, chicken, omega-3 eggs. If you don't have a sensitivity to it, cheese. Omega-3 eggs, vegetables, salad, fruit, tubers, things like potatoes, yams, sweet potatoes, nuts, as long as they're raw or dry roasted and not cooked in some of these omega-6 oils we were talking about. Omega-3 seeds like hemp, chia, flax, dark chocolate, spices of all kinds, things that we put on our foods to enhance the flavor. These are anti-inflammatory. And then finally, things like olive oil, coconut oil, butter, cream, avocados and avocado oil, red wine, stout beer, coffee, and green tea, if you're going to have something else to drink besides water, are your best options. And so that's what we've covered. We've spent a couple of shows really talking about that in detail. We talked about the book called The Deflame Diet by Dr. David Seaman, world-renowned expert on nutrition who's written the book called That Deflame Diet, and it's a great resource, folks, to study this more in detail. We also talked about food sensitivity. So sometimes you can be eating an anti-inflammatory group of foods, but maybe there's one or two foods in that group that you have a specific sensitivity to. So that's, we talked about the value of food sensitivity testing to look for hidden food sensitivities. For instance, myself personally, I have a high reaction to eggs. Eggs are good for you. They're anti-inflammatory. But for me, they're not so good. When I eat eggs, I get skin outbreaks and I get digestive upset. So I got to really limit those. And I have a moderate sensitivity to whey protein, which is a protein found in dairy. So I avoid dairy as much as possible and eggs, but I also eat many other anti-inflammatory foods. So if you have questions about some of what we covered, reach out to us at 507-752-7650 or look us up online at redrockchiro.com or email us at redrockchiro@centurytel.net. When you look at our website, you'll find our show, Treat the Cause. You'll click on that, you'll find archives to many of our past shows and episodes. We got a whole bunch of them on there, folks, by now, from chronic pain to digestive problems to headaches to carpal tunnel to plantar fasciitis to knee pain, peripheral neuropathy, disc conditions, hormone problems, food sensitivities. We got tons of topics. So avail yourself to that information, especially if you have a specific condition that you want more information about. Again, the website is redrockchiro.com. So let's move beyond our discussion of specific inflammatory and anti-inflammatory foods and food sensitivities. Let's talk, when you eat inflammatory foods or you're eating foods that you're sensitive to, how does that create inflammation in the body specifically? Well, there's many mechanisms, but one of them is it can lead to a condition in the gut called leaky gut syndrome, or some doctors call it increased intestinal hyperpermeability. And so let's talk about what leaky gut is. And it's a little challenging to explain, but I think you'll get the gist of it here from my explanation. So we're talking about the intestinal lining. And think of it as a conduit or a pipeline, folks. And that lining of our gut or our intestinal wall has very tiny microscopic little openings or pores in it that are at what are called tight junctions. And it's supposed to be very tight, folks, and have very little pores because all the bad stuff that we is undigestible. So undigestible food particles and fiber and waste and that, things that are going to be eliminated. You get the idea. They need to stay in the pipeline, folks, right? So that they're eliminated properly. And then, but when we digest, there's little molecules of, there's vitamins and minerals and amino acids and proteins and the good stuff. Well, that, the body breaks that down, the intestinal lining, and then it reabsorbs out of the intestinal tract through these tiny little openings, these pores, so that we can absorb the good stuff from the food we eat back into our circulation, where then our body circulates it around and brings it to whatever is needed. So that's, you know, a proper digestive tract should eliminate the bad stuff and keep the good stuff. However, if you're eating foods that are inflammatory in nature or foods that you're sensitive to, over time, every time you eat a food you're sensitive to, it creates a little inflammation. And every time you eat natural inflammatory foods, It creates a little inflammation. And what over time happens is it begins to break down the lining of our gut wall, the lining of the intestinal tract. And when that happens, those little openings, those little tight junctions begin to get bigger. And then what happens is you start to get this condition called leaky gut syndrome, where the bad stuff that's supposed to be eliminated, little bits of that start leaking back into circulation. And when that happens, so let's use an example. Say you're eating bread. Bread is full of gluten, which is an undigestible protein molecule found in there. So it's found in wheat, grains like wheat and so forth. You're eating gluten on a regular basis, and maybe you don't even have a sensitivity to it, but you're just eating gluten-containing foods. And over time, that starts to create inflammation. Your gut doesn't like it. It can't digest it well. And it starts to create leaky gut, and some of those gluten molecules start leaking back into circulation where they're not supposed to be. They're supposed to be eliminated. So then it enters your circulation, and then your immune system, which monitors every aspect of your health, and that circulates in your cardiovascular system and circulation, starts to say, hey, gluten molecule, you're not supposed to be here. And what does it do? It starts treating it like it's a foreign invader, and kind of like it was a bacteria or a parasite or a yeast or a virus. And that starts to create more inflammation in the body. Or say you have a little bit of overgrowth of yeast in your gut because you eat too much sugar. Breaks down that gut lining over time. And then pretty soon you get this yeast that starts leaking from the gut that starts spreading throughout the body. Well, wherever it goes, your body creates an immune response to it. And so things like gluten, things like food sensitivities, things like infection, mild infections in your gut starts to come out of the gut. And that's, folks, many times is how you get chronically inflamed. So many times it's gradual. You can get away with eating a poor diet sometimes for many, many, many years, but over time that little bit of damage that keeps getting done starts to accumulate, starts to break down the gut lining and leading to leaky gut. So folks, this is how people get autoimmune disorders. Things like rheumatoid arthritis and ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease and Sjogren's and lupus and multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's and things. This is felt to be the underlying mechanism of how some of these autoimmune disorders develop. In the case of rheumatoid arthritis, that's the Mac Daddy of joint pain and inflammation. But a lot of people don't have a specific name disorder like rheumatoid or things like that that cause them to have chronic pain. They just in general are inflamed, and they maybe haven't developed a full-blown autoimmune disorder yet. And this is a lot of times the mechanism, folks. So when I have people come to me with chronic pain, certainly I do a good orthopedic and chiropractic workup, and we have very specialized treatments and therapies that we put them under, including deep tissue robotic laser, which is tremendous for all kinds of pain. However, some people, we need to dig in deeper and get to the root cause. And so the deflamed diet and the food sensitivity testing can help us to get to the root cause of where this inflammation is coming from. So I guess what I want you folks really to understand and learn from this is that chronic pain, you know, so yeah, you can have an injury, you know, maybe an auto accident or a bad slip or a fall, a lifting injury, and yeah, you can develop chronic pain in a certain area of the body. But so many people out there that have chronic pain, they say, "Doc, I hurt all over. My shoulders hurt, my knees hurt, my back hurts, my neck hurts, I have headaches every day." They're chronic pain patients, heard it all over, and it's not necessarily due to a specific injury or, you know, like a car accident or anything like that. Folks, those people, if you're one of those, you are inflamed. You're inflamed, and so what you have to do is to try to find the root cause of the inflammation and to try to treat that. So that might look like a combination of good chiropractic work, but also doing some functional medicine testing. So we're going to talk a little bit about the functional medicine testing that I do on patients if I suspect that their chronic pain is coming from leaky gut or from the gut. And so, because there's great tests that can be done to get to the bottom of this. And we've done this on several patients just recently. And so let's review those tests a little bit. We talked about last time the FoodSafe 190 test. That's where I start, because hidden food sensitivities many times are the root cause of the chronic inflammation, the development of the leaky gut. So simple blood test, we can test 190 different foods, and it breaks it down into different categories. So it'll test a whole bunch of foods under the dairy category, all the different meats, the different grains, fish, seeds, nuts, miscellaneous spices, fruits, vegetables, and a whole list of other miscellaneous things. So 190 different items are tested, and it'll show on the report all the foods that are safe. And that's so important to know, okay, I can eat these foods safely. But conversely, it'll show any foods that are moderate or high reactivity to. And those are the foods then you can objectively know through this testing, the ones that you need to either reduce in the case of a moderate, in other words, you need to minimize your consumption of that. And in the case of a severe, a high reactivity, those are the foods that you need to eliminate, at least for a period of time, to allow the inflammation to settle down, to stop your immune system from chronically being activated to these foods you're being exposed to, and to allow that gut to heal. Couple other tests that I really dig into when I suspect somebody has this underlying leaky gut or inflammation stemming from it is we do something called a GI360 profile. And this is a gut test. It's the most comprehensive gut test on the market, bar none. This is the Mac Daddy, folks. And this test, it's a stool test. So it's a kit we have patients take home, and they collect three different stool samples on three different days. And these little stool samples get sent into a laboratory. And this test is brilliant. So it tests the good bacteria in the gut, a whole bunch of different strains of them. And it tests to see if there's any deficiency or overgrowth. Mostly looking for deficiency of the good guys. But it also tests to see if there is an overgrowth of any bad guys. And what I mean by bad guys are things like viruses, pathogenic or bad strains of bad bacteria, yeast, which is a type of fungus or fungal infection or overgrowth, and then finally parasites or parasitic infection. This also has some nice markers in it that test levels of inflammation right in the gut. Things called calprotectin is one, and there's a couple other ones that we look at. This also tests a specific marker called secretory IgA, and this is the immune marker that is most prevalent in the gut. And you see, folks, 70% of the human immune system is housed in the gut. So when you're reacting to certain foods, something is going on with the immune system of the gut. So it's nice to see that marker to know if it's elevated or depressed or where it is at, so we know if there's problems in the immune function of your gut. So we test the good guys, the bad guys, inflammation levels in the gut, immune markers in the gut. We can test gallbladder function, pancreatic function with this to know how you're digesting certain things in your diet, to look at enzyme levels from these things. And I'm just scratching the surface. There's more in this test. But bottom line is, this test will tell us if there's problems in the gut. And then finally with this, we add on a marker called zonulin. Zonulin is the marker that is most important to test when leaky gut syndrome or leaky gut is suspected. And zonulin is a protein that is found in the lining of the gut wall. And when zonulin is elevated in a stool sample, that generally means there's a breakdown of the lining of the gut, folks. And we can then make a very strong case for that there is leaky gut syndrome going on. And again, leaky gut is the root cause of autoimmunity in many folks, which is what we're going to talk a lot about in our next show, various autoimmune disorders and their connection to the gut health. For today's episode, though, chronic pain. Chronic pain, folks. So many people out there have it. So many people out there rely on standard medical approach. The standard medical approach to chronic pain is this. They're either going to drug it, numb it, or cut it. And I've said this on numerous other episodes, but it bears repeating. If you're just strictly trying to treat pain, folks, with the standard approach, that's the tools in their toolbox. Drug it, meaning, here, Mrs. Jones, here's something for your pain and inflammation. I'm for relief just as much as the next person, but taking those pills isn't going to solve your chronic pain. At best, it's going to mask it for a period of time, and these pills come with potential serious side effects, folks, that don't make the benefits many times worth the risks. Secondly, they're going to try to numb it if that doesn't work. So they will sometimes do cortisone shots into joints or steroid injections into the spine, or they try to numb the pain by frying nerves called ablation. And again, these sometimes can reduce pain and inflammation, but they don't treat the root cause, folks. They just cover up symptoms or mask it. And then finally, cut it, which is some type of a surgical approach, be it a joint replacement, a back surgery, or a knee scope. And sometimes surgery is absolutely necessary, folks. I refer patients for surgery when it's needed. But I never do that unless it's obvious they need surgery or we've tried some really good non-drug, non-surgical options. And, in those non-drug and non-surgical options, what I'm talking about here, this is root cause medicine, folks. Finding hidden food sensitivities, finding leaky gut, fixing the gut, clearing up things in the diet, eating anti-inflammatory foods, chiropractic treatment, rehabilitation, deep tissue robotic laser therapy, all these help to get to the root causes and treat your chronic pain in a safe, natural, non-invasive, holistic way. And that's why our clinic is booming, because we provide these alternatives, and people out there are looking for non-drug, non-surgical ways to treat their chronic pain. So if you have chronic pain, folks, I would implore you, find the cause and treat that. Work with a doctor that's going to do more than just drug it and numb it. Work with a doctor that's going to help you to find it, find what your root cause is, and work on treating that. And work with doctors that offer non-drug and non-surgical alternatives. They're safe And they're going to usually 8 or 9 out of 10 times produce great results. And if you can get to the root cause and treat that, well, you're not only going to feel better, but you're actually going to be healthier. You're going to enjoy better quality of life. And that's what it's all about, folks. So I hope this episode resonated with you. Next episode, we'll dig into autoimmunity and more of those conditions in detail. And we're here to help. We're here to inspire. And we're here to help you to treat the cause. Thank you for joining me today. And we'll talk real soon.
Thanks for listening to Treat the Cause with Dr. Kyle Pankinen. Dr. Pankinen owns and operates Red Rock Chiropractic Center in Lamberton. You can learn more about the practice and request an appointment by visiting redrockchiro.com or by calling 507-752-7650. Red Rock Chiropractic has convenient hours to fit your schedule. Once again, you can contact them at redrockchiro.com or call 507-752-7650. Be sure to tune in next time for Treat the Cause with Dr. Kyle Pankinen.
The preceding was a paid advertisement. All views and our opinions are solely those of the advertiser and not KLGR or its parent company, Alpha Media, LLC.